First of all, I want to take a moment and just kind of catch the picture of what is happening here in this passage. This is late in the ministry of Jesus' life. So these disciples have spent several years walking through life with Jesus. And all to their surprise and dismay, he dies. And then 3 days later, he comes back to life. Jesus is raised from the dead, defeating sin and death and being victorious. And then he meets with these disciples and he gives them this instruction. And so that's a lot of weight. If you put yourself in the disciples' shoes for just a moment and say, all right, my master is walking me through all these things. He died, he rose from the dead, and then he gives me this instruction. So that's where we are. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, to Jesus. Because of what he's done, he has all authority. When you beat sin and death, you're on top of the world. Like that, you can't do any better than that, right? He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he gives them this instruction, the prime directive to the disciples. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all that I have commanded, and I will be with you always. So Jesus gives this instruction to them and sends them out. And I want to start with a look back in my own life to a moment of instruction. A little more than 7.5 years ago, my family and I were living in Woodinville, Washington. You know where that is, sort of northeast of Seattle area, north of Kirkland a little bit there. And I remember very distinctly a conversation with God. I was kind of arguing with him. I wasn't sure that he knew what he was talking about. God was calling me on my sin, my selfishness. He was saying to me, Dave, you can keep doing what you want to do, or you can do what I want you to do. And he said, if you continue to do what you want to do, you can continue to be miserable and depressed and just have a hard time, or you can do what I want you to do and be blessed and joyful, true joy, and feel loved. And I was at this point of struggle in my own life, in my own mind, of saying, do I want to do what I want to do, or do I want to do what God wants me to do? And as that conversation, I realized that I was my own worst enemy in that. That my desires to do my own thing are why I was so miserable. And I said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll follow you wherever it is. And he said, great, because I want you to go into ministry. And I said, wait a minute. Anything but that, God. I mean, I grew up in a pastor's home. I know what that takes. That's hard. And I said, no, God, I'm not going to give you part of me. I'm going to give you all of me, whatever you want. And so I didn't know what was next. I said, all right, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stop being selfish. I'll do what you want me to do, but you're going to have to show me the way because I don't know how to do that. And he led me to call my dad and ask him, tell him that God was calling me into ministry and to come down and meet with the elders of Mountain View and to talk about entering into the internship program with Josh. Pastor Josh and I started that at the same time. I think it was like the same time. And begin to figure out that path. Begin to figure out that journey. What does it mean to follow God with my whole heart and do what he wants me to do? And on that journey, we moved to Centralia. With no job lined up, no idea really what we were doing, just following God into this moving and this leading us. to do this. And thankfully, the church had a house behind her that we could live in, which we've been in for 7.5 years. We're thankful for a good place to live. And we learned about the program called Convergence. Now, some of you probably heard me talk about Convergence before. That is the pastoral training program through CB Northwest, which is down in Portland, our church association. And Convergence was the next step in this path of God leading me and showing me what it was that he wanted for me. And I think I've said it before, and I will say it again, Convergence was one of the most transformative and impactful things that has happened to my walk and my ability to lead and minister and just be a godly man. It was a privilege. And so I look back at that moment of following God and seeing these pieces of being able to come to Mountain View and Mountain View supporting myself and Alan Woods through Convergence and all of the things that we've learned from that. In fact, as I was reflecting on the things that I've learned from Convergence, I realized that there's a number of sermons that I've preached here in the past that dealt directly with things that I had learned through that time in Convergence. My desire to see God's story made big, to really see how big God's story is. And going back to the beginning in creation when God made everything perfectly, and then the fall when humanity kind of messed up and sin entered into the world. But God had a plan coming for his son to come and redeem people, that Jesus would come and die for those, for all of us who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that he has a future coming that is perfection again. And I realized that through Convergence, that process, that story is, we've got it backwards a lot of the time, that we try and fit God's story into our own lives. Like I was doing before I was following him. I'll do my thing, and God, you can fit into this portion of my life. Versus recognizing that God's story is much bigger than we are, and we fit within his story, and he uses us to proclaim his story and continue to tell that, and tells his story through our lives, which is what I believe he's doing right now. Telling a story through my life, through your life. Gospel transformation was another thing that Convergence opened my eyes to, the beauty and wonder of the cross. And so over the 7.5 years, there have been a number of things that God has I've had the privilege of being exposed to because of following him. He has given us a command to tell the world from Matthew 28. The second point is he's given us a command to become all things. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 9. If you flip over to 1 Corinthians 9, if you can hold your place in Matthew 28, because we're going to come back to that, stick a bookmark in or something, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19. Paul writing to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians. Talks about how he has approached sharing the gospel. So beginning in verse 19 of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant, or some might say a slave, to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. So as Paul addresses the church in Corinth, he explains his methodology of reaching people by saying to some groups of people, I take on those things so that I'm not an obstacle or a barrier for the gospel to enter into their lives. So that the conversation happens smoothly. That there isn't a barrier there. And for others, I do it differently. And so I was thinking through, I was reflecting on this passage and how that has played out in my own ministry and life here at Mountain View. And actually, as I was getting dressed this morning, I was thinking about it. Because you don't always see me up here in a tie and these fancy pants and these almost shiny black shoes. But I want to be accessible, to not be a barrier or a burden as I communicate with you today and tell these things that are on my heart. And so as Paul would recognize the need to work with the Jews in a way that they would understand, I've sought to do that over the years. With the youth group, we had a heart to see the youth of Mountain View have a safe, intimate place of discipleship and growth as the future leaders of this church and other churches as they grow up. We had a heart to open our home and let and invite youth in to experience life in the Knepper household. Not because the Kneppers have anything particular special to offer Jesus, that's all we have to offer. But in inviting them into our home and making them feel comfortable, and it was really important for me that my whole family was there, that we could all model life following Jesus together for the students. And because of that, we've had just amazing relationships come out of that. Just a couple of those that are involved would be Carrie Johnson. I think she's out shopping right now. She was in the first service. Who knows that she can call Amy at any time and ask her about how to navigate something or how do I deal with this issue or just a deep, deep friendship and a point of trust that we've developed out of that. And Nathaniel Wilkerson is another one that I've had great privilege of working with and being close to and walking through some difficult things together. Because as Paul is pointing out to the Church of Corinth, we need to enter into these understandings and these relationships. And so our time here at Mountain View has very much been like that. As Paul was addressing the Jews, he's addressing a church, a culture and people that are pretty religious. I think that's probably safe to say that the Jews, the nation of Israel, was a religious people. Especially the devout, they follow the law and the commandments and all of these kinds of things. And as Paul's entering into this and saying, I'm going to do that so that I can work with you. And that's something that we have strived to do, and it's been such a huge honor and a privilege. We've seen so much growth and friendships developed in our youth, and as we are talking about leaving, I want to encourage you. Well, Amy and I both command you to care and love for those kids, as we have. But God moves on, and as Paul illustrates in the next part of this passage, verse 21, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law. Over these 7.5 years, God has always brought us, our hearts, to a place and a point of desire to impact a certain group of people or certain things that are going on, and God is very much doing that now. Amy and I have talked a lot about those that are outside of the church, those that are either disenfranchised or hurt by the church or just have never had anything to do with it. And unique ministries that that seek to reach those people. And you want to talk about unique ministries. Game Church is modeled after another organization called Triple X Church. Have you ever heard of Triple X Church before? As Paul is looking at becoming things outside the law, let me read it again because this helps to shed some light on it. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Triple X Church is a ministry to the adult film industry. Their goal is to reach those that are trapped within that, either working within that realm or trapped by the effects of working in that realm, and call them out and let them know that Jesus loves them and has a better plan for their life. The way they do this is to actually go into conventions, adult film star conventions, pornography conventions, and they actually go in and they buy a booth space and they give out a Bible to anybody and everybody that will take one. And they tell them when they come by, Jesus loves you. I'm calling them out of that place. Now you talk about scary and unique and kind of outside the box a little bit. Triple X Church is doing that. And I believe very firmly that that's what Paul is talking about here, where the freedom to go in and tell these people. And they've provided a bunch of other great resources. And Game Church is modeled after that. It's the same concept, but with the video game culture, that world, and going into shows and doing those things. And I'll talk a lot more about that tonight. I hope that you can come back tonight and hear more about that, because I would love to share all the details about how that works. But as we look at Paul's response to those outside the law, he goes, as far as necessary while remaining within God's law. Now, Triple X Church doesn't go out and make an adult film so that they have the chance to work alongside those within the industry and share the gospel, because that's outside of God's law. God's law has a distinct right and wrong and where sin lies. But because of that, they can go and do that. And as we analyze this ministry and have talked with them, it's very much where God wants us to be, laid on our hearts. He says in verse 22, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." As Paul talks to the Corinthians, he says, I've emptied myself, I've become weak so that I can interact with you. And as I was reflecting on this passage, that there are great sacrifices involved with going and following God's mission. For us, it's been, we don't know yet where we are going to live in Ventura, California. We don't have a place lined up. We don't even have a neighborhood picked out. And yet, in a few weeks, we will be headed that direction. And so, the world would say, "You're a fool. What are you doing? You've got two little kids. How can you live a life like this? You need to get these things figured out and take care of your family." And I said, "I agree, I need to take care of my family, but God is taking care of me." And we don't know where we're going to go. We're taking a pretty severe cut in salary to go and join this mission field. And yet, do it willingly, following God's lead. There's some hard things too, like leaving our church body. You have loved us immensely for 7.5 years, And it is not easy to say goodbye. We're going to do this other thing. And our pets, our cat and our dog, can't go with us. In fact, yesterday I had to drop my dog off with a new family, and that was pretty hard. And we're moving very far away from my parents and taking grandkids with us, and that is a very difficult thing too. And I know that God's leading so that because of these things, verse 23, that I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings, that God is using this time, this moment, our lives for something that he is doing. When we moved here 7.5 years ago, we didn't know what God is doing. And he's shown us continually over the years how he has cared for us, how he's put us in the right place at the right time, how he has loved us. And we are now testimonies to that. He is doing that again. So I want to have you flip back to Matthew 28. I told you to keep your place there. If you were able to, great. If not, Matthew 28, verse 18. I want to relook at this for a moment. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." This is Jesus saying, this is the prime directive, and I'm the guy to tell you to do it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. This is the missionary verse, right? This is the one that says, send people to go tell people, and that's true, yes. But he's talking to all of us, and he tells us to go into all the nations. And that means those kind of weird people, or the ones with that dress funny or have lots of tattoos or don't speak the same way you do, or whomever that is. Jesus is saying, go and tell them. Tell them wherever they are. Make them disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bring them into the body of Christ, all dirty and smelly and weird. Bring them in. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, I was thinking about that. Jesus spent several years with the disciples teaching them and discipling them. And they had all day, every day, walking around through the countryside to do that. So that may take a little extra work, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you to do. But that's the next step. Bring them into the family. Tell them how to live like Jesus. Teaching them all to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This journey that we go on, we do not go alone. As we prepare to go to Ventura, California, we know that Jesus is already there, already gone before us and preparing those things. We know that he goes with us as we go, and we know that he remains here with you. And as you, whatever God is calling you to do, if it's come join Game Church in Ventura, California, great. Some of you are thinking, no, not California, please, Lord, please. But if that's what he calls you to, I hope that you can see that God can be trusted with that. God calls you to do something, he knows what he is doing. And you should follow him. And you should follow him because Jesus will be with you all the way. We go confidently because we know Jesus is with us. So that's my challenge. Whatever God is calling you to do, I don't guess it's as crazy as moving your whole family to California. But whatever it is, would you be willing to say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to be selfish. Whatever it is, I trust you with that. I will follow you wherever and know that Jesus will be with you there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your word that speaks to our hearts, gives us comfort in times of trouble. God, as this change is happening in our lives, and we're trying to follow you and honor you and navigate that, your word comforts us. We thank you for your son and the gift of life that he brings, that we can all be family, brothers and sisters because of Jesus. And I pray that you would give us the courage to live as family, to be brave and do the things that you have called us to do. Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of this church, and pray that you would bless all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.